and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled.
Good morning, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots on this fine Christmas morning. Good morning, everybody, and good morning, Lady Liberty.
Well, good morning to you, and good morning, everyone out there. Merry Christmas Monday
yes.
to all of you.
Welcome to Merry Christmas Monday. Only comes once a year.
That's right. Yeah, this is not a traditional Monday occasion.
Actually, Merry Christmas Monday only comes once every 7 years.
Oh, good point. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. But we are going to step back and take a break from news and commentary on the news and all of that other stuff. We have something just so incredible to celebrate. The birth of our Lord Christ. And we know he wasn't born on December 25th. Nobody actually knows the day. Well, somebody does, but nobody in modern right. history knows.
Right.
And so this day was just chosen, and we stick to it. And
well, we're sticking to it right now. The whole reason is because actually, historically, birthdays didn't start being important or being celebrated till this modern era. It turns out that the Jews especially did not celebrate birthdays, which is very likely why nobody seems to know exactly
really...
what day he was born. I mean, yes, they do know that the angels showed up, and without a doubt, it is very important to us. But the whole problem was that there's no positive data in the Bible or in rabbinical literature concerning birthday festivals among the ancient Jews.
That's right.
And according to a search that I was doing, this silence on the subject is, however, no warrant for the conclusion that Jews altogether abstained from following a custom which was general among the Egyptians, apparently.
Yes.
But they viewed celebrating birthdays as pagan, because originally it was...
Because all the pagans did it.
Well, yeah. What the whole thing was is, in the ancient times, people would often celebrate the birthdays of gods and goddesses.
Yes.
And so the Jews always viewed birthday celebrations as being pagan in origin.
Yeah.
And so that's very likely why the exact date of his birth isn't recorded.
Yeah, exactly. It could just be obscured, so it wouldn't be something that we're fixated on, the exact day he was born on.
That's right.
And in fact, there was only one birth that we can find, that we know of, even record a birthday celebration recorded in the Bible.
That's right. And that is the birthday of an Egyptian pharaoh.
Yes.
And so there's that reference again of the Egyptians were known for celebrating birthdays, but not the Jews.
Right.
So fascinating.
But we do celebrate. Yeah. Even in the Western world, birthdays were not celebrated until the early 1900s.
That's right.
Yep. Like the 20th century or the late 1800s. But generally, I mean, it's very, very recent
yep.
in Western culture, even.
Yep.
Other than, you know, early European.
Right, and that's an interesting point. I mean, who would have even thought about that? I mean, especially when it's so common and part of our culture today, it wouldn't have even occurred to me that they didn't do the same thing back then.
Well, probably because of commercialism. It's a multi-million-dollar industry.
That's true.
Balloons, cards.
That has an awful lot to do with it, doesn't
yeah.
it? Yeah. Well, yeah. Hey, also, you know, because today is Christmas Day, and we want to have fun and keep it light as well as positive, and
sure.
and remember what the day is about, the celebration of our, good grief, our most favorite person that has ever existed, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Boy, do we ever love him.
That's right.
And so we are very pleased to be able to celebrate his birthday.
Yep.
And,
so be patient. The war will commence tomorrow.
Yes, right.
It will resume,
Yes, all the bad news will return. Well, and so we've got a couple jokes here for you.
All right.
Okay, so why did the little drummer boy put his drum to bed?
Because it was beat.
Yes.
Are you serious? All right, yeah.
There you go. Okay, so what do gingerbread What do gingerbread men use when they break their legs?
A popsicle splint?
Candy canes.
Oh. Okay. Right on. That works.
Right. Okay. One last one, and we'll get to the more meatier stuff here. What do you call a snowman party?
I don't know.
A snowball.
Of course.
You know.
I should have known that one. Wow. That was, all right. Well, those are great. Those are great. Now, we were talking about birthdays and celebrating birthdays, and this really wasn't done in the Bible, and it wasn't done even in the early church or even early Western culture. But the day that Christ was born was heavily celebrated.
Oh, yes.
And it was even, it was prophesied that it would be celebrated. But when it happened, recorded in Luke chapter 2, 13 through 14, says, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly army praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men, in celebration of the birth of Christ.
Yep, that's awesome.
Yeah. So we celebrate that every year, and they didn't tell us the date, so we made one up.
There we go. Well, and you know, that's really interesting too, that the angels just appeared to these shepherds. You know, it's who they appeared to is what strikes me as being very interesting. They didn't go to, you know, Herod. Well, of course, they're not going to go to Herod. They know better. But they didn't go to anybody that was in charge of the government. They didn't go to any head person at all. They didn't go to the richest man, the man of, you know, the most prestigious man in the synagogue. They didn't do any of that. They went to the shepherds.
Yes. And the lowliest.
That's right. And so that is an indicator as to who they're introducing as well.
Well, the King of Kings is born in a manger.
That's right.
You know, it wasn't a fancy thing. So, very interesting.
Right. And, especially when we know that ultimately the Lord told us that what's going to happen after this whole world is over and done with is it's going to be left to a meek and a humble people.
Right.
And so what better example of that than a shepherd.
Yes. You know, something that was kind of maybe a little hint as to when Christ may have been born, one theory, is that all of the lambs used in the temple sacrifices came from Bethlehem.
Uh-huh.
And when the shepherds were tending to these flocks, maintaining these herds or flocks, they're out in the mountains and in the wilderness and all over the place. When it came close to the Passover, they would start bringing the flocks in closer to Bethlehem in the hills right around Bethlehem to prepare them, because it was a big deal where they went through a lot of lambs.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And so that is one reason why some theologians think that Christ's birth may have been right, because the shepherds were around Bethlehem at that time. So we don't know. But now you have one that you wanted to share as well.
Yes. Some of the things that Christ did here, well, all of the things that Christ did here were phenomenal to the point of being miraculous.
Yes.
Right. You know that when you're conducting miracle after miracle, oh man, that's awesome. But there's some weighty principles that he brought with his life as well. You know, he wasn't here strictly to perform miracles, although that was greatly appreciated and really outlined the fact that he is the Son of God.
Right.
And so one of his more outstanding things that he did was when he changed the covenant to the new covenant, where he wrote the law on our hearts.
Yes.
And so that whole scripture comes to us from Hebrews chapter 8, verses 7 through 13. And that reads, a new covenant. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. because finding fault with them, he says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." In that, he says, a new covenant. He has made the first obsolete. Now, what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away.
Hmm.
And that is phenomenal right there.
Yeah.
Just the fact that when he says in verse 12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. That's fantastic.
Yes. That's our hope.
Yes. That is why he says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Yes.
Meaning that when he did that, we are saved right along with him.
Yeah. It really comes at a time like this when you feel like the world is overcoming us.
Right.
You know, we're being overcome by the world, and you feel like you're just getting swallowed up in this machine, and he's already overcome the world.
Right. Well, and the glorious part of that is his long suffering and his enduring mercy, compassion, and great love for us, because, you know, after this many thousands of years and thousands and billions of repeats of the same horrible sins that he has to watch over and over and over.
Yep.
And instead of just casting us all away and saying, you know what, I give up. You guys are a lost cause.
Yeah.
You know, all I asked you to do was to love me and love each other, and you can't even do that, right?
Right.
He could have said that, and he could have wadded the whole thing up in his hand and, you know, just completely destroyed us. And
I wouldn't have blamed if he did.
No kidding. No
well,
kidding.
He did once with Noah, but that was a different issue. He was dealing with other issues.
Right.
But a different level.
But still, he's looking forward to the point when he gets to be merciful to our unrighteousness.
Yeah.
That is the maturity level, the perfection, the holiness of the Lord, that instead of wanting to condemn us and say, that's it, I've just had enough of you guys.
Which we're worthy of.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, instead, he's looking forward to being merciful to our unrighteousness. And all we have to do is believe in him, walk in his ways, love God with all our heart, and love each other as we do ourselves.
If you do those things, you will follow the commandments.
That's right.
I mean, it's just natural. They're locked together.
Right. They love fulfills the whole law.
Right.
And so, if you want to, you know, keep it simple, you don't have to even think about the Ten Commandments or think about any of his laws or statutes or think about sin or anything. Just flat out be lovable.
Well, exactly. Yeah. That's why, which is a kind of a different angle on his statement where he says, you know, if you love me, you will follow my commandments. Well, you follow his commandments because you love him.
Right.
It's not out of a sense of duty or obedience. It's because you love him, because you want to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's also almost like a riddle, the way he has that worded.
Right.
If you love me, you will keep my commandments, on the definition of how to love each other.
Yes.
And how to love God, right? And so, if you love me, you will love to love these orders of love.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's really what it is, because the first four commandments outline how you are to love God, and the last six are how you are to love each other.
Yes.
And so when he wraps it all up and says, you know, you just forget all that. Just love God and, yes, and love your brother. He's still saying, this is how, you know, so that whole thing is, yes, is like, it's like one thing wrapped into
it's
another.
Symbiotic.
Yes.
Yep. One feeds off the other and feeds the other. The scripture that references faith without works is dead.
Right.
Is another very similar one to that, because it doesn't mean, oh, I have to do faiths. I have to do works, you know, to prove my faith. No, if you have faith,
you want to,
you will automatically just do the works.
That's right.
It will be the evidence of your faith will be the works that you do.
That's right.
Not for the sake of doing works, but for the sake of the faith that you have.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, and that's all so very important, because God is love.
Right.
And this is what the whole world has been waiting for.
Yes.
I mean, every single problem this world faces today all stems from lack of love. I'm not kidding. You can very literally trace every single problem back to the origin of lack of love.
Or conversely, he's the answer to all of the problems.
Well, because he is
they
love.
Would vanish.
Right. And you know, just like that's why he wants you to behave like him.
Yeah.
Service of others in a manner that is loving and kind.
Right.
And you know, if you're having to force somebody to follow rudimentary examples, you know, for instance, he's like, okay, here's one. This should really actually mean something to you. When you see me wash all of the apostles' feet, that should actually hit home for you that it's a humbling thing for the person that has to do it.
Yes.
But he doesn't care, because he'll be humble all day long. He'll humiliate himself in front of anybody,
right,
in order to show them love and kindness. 'Cause
and model it.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's the whole backbone of the whole message anyway, is it's so simple. It's so simple.
Sure is. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and take a break here and share this audio file we'd like to do at Christmas. This is actually from a trip that Lady Liberty and I took to Leavenworth, Washington a few years ago. And these carolers on the street singing Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Yeah.
It was such a wonderful experience.
That was really
cool. And I was videoing it, and so I pulled the audio off of it to share it. And it was just a festive environment. It was, people were singing to the Lord.
Yep.
It was really neat. So anyway, we'll go into the break with that. I've got a special message to you from Schultz. The Peanuts, the Christmas story.
Awesome.
And what the true meaning of Christmas is. And then we'll be back right after that with segment two. So stick around.
Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Welcome back, Christmas Patriots. This is The Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty, going into segment two. Lady Liberty, Good morning and Merry Christmas to you.
Well, thank you, and good morning and Merry Christmas to you as well.
Yeah.
And all of our awesome listeners out there,
yes,
that we love so much, that we, you know, we've got the best listeners. We've got people all over the United States that we get emails from these people.
Yeah.
And
Canada.
And Canada.
And Japan.
And Japan. And
all over.
And where, I think it was also Afghanistan. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Several of our troops. By the way, great point. Remember our troops that are deployed right now. It's easy to forget about them because the global war on terror is not like front and center in our face with Afghanistan and Iraq drawn down. But we've got troops all over the world. Right now, Christmas time, on the other side of the world, in serving our country.
That's
away
right.
from their families. And
yep.
One thing I wanted to mention, you know, on this Peanuts with Schultz, when he first came out with that, the networks wanted him to go back and remove the part about Christ, that with Linus talking to Charlie Brown
right.
about the meaning of Christmas.
Yeah.
The networks wanted him to edit that out. And he said, no, he insisted that it stayed in there. And we're so thankful
did,
because
yeah. that's what resonates with Americans right there.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. So God bless him, and it lives on, and that's why we wanted to share that.
That's so cool. I know, yeah. I love that. That's the sweetest thing. Well, okay, so the next thing that we wanted to read right after a couple jokes
yes.
is you know, more from the same line of thinking that we were just covering in Hebrews 8. But first, can't go much further without a joke. What do you
think? Okay, all right. Let's do it. Let's see if you can stump me again.
Okay.
So, I'm 1 for 3. Well, 1.5 for 3. I almost...
Okay.
Right.
Okay, so what do reindeer use to decorate their antlers?
Oh, boy.
Ornaments.
Ornaments. I'm not even close to what I was going to guess.
Right.
But I didn't want to waste too much more airtime him and Han because I really have no idea. So
no kidding.
Ornaments.
Right. Okay. So why shouldn't you lend money to elves?
Oh, well, all kinds of reasons. Why? It's the same reason you don't lend money to unicorns or the Easter Bunny or...
Well, it's just because they're always short.
Yeah.
Okay, a couple more.
All right.
Did you hear about the ski trip?
I'm probably not the same one you're thinking of.
It started off fine, but it went downhill fast.
Of course.
Okay, so what did the ocean say when Santa flew over? Nothing. It just waved.
I can't take it anymore.
Okay.
All right.
Good enough.
Making me feel dumb here.
No, that's not the point of jokes. Oh, the point of jokes is to laugh.
I don't know the answer to all of them.
just raise your hand. I, okay. I promise I'll call on you next time.
All right. So we do have some scriptures here that we want to share with you guys. And, you know, it was funny because we both had the same scripture queued up that
yeah.
we wanted to share. So I don't know. Maybe we'll do it together. What do you think?
No, you just go ahead.
Okay. Well, this is from Isaiah 9:6. Now, what? Hundreds of years before Christ was even born.
Right.
This is prophecy.
Yep.
So listen to this from Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's Isaiah 9:6.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, that's what a great point, that the government shall be upon his shoulder. And what have you and I been talking about for the past four years now on this show? We've been talking about how to love your brother on a macro scale, which is government, right?
Well, yeah. I mean,
and using Jesus's principles of serving your brother in love.
It couldn't be more short-sighted for a Christian to think that government is not important to man.
Or to Christians.
I'm sorry. that government isn't important to God.
Right.
He established it.
Exactly.
And he set order to it.
Right.
I mean, the whole concept, even including especially America, was founded on an executive, a legislative, and judicial.
Right.
I mean, just like the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
I mean, you know, you've got the head, the executive, you've got the law, and the judicial, the judge. I mean,
well, exactly. And he's coming back to what it says, reign with a rod of iron.
Yes.
And
to rule the nations
with a rod of iron. And we are going to be his kings and priests ruling with him.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep.
So pretty excited.
That's an awesome little bit of scripture right there. Well, and so the last thing that I wanted to read was out of Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 15. And that reads under the title, The Heavenly Sanctuary. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from the dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance.
Wow.
And so this is why that man was born.
That's right. And that's why we are celebrating.
No kidding.
There's so much to celebrate. All right, guys. Well, listen, we'll let you get off to your Christmas Day festivities. You be safe out there. God bless. And join us tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. for the morning commute right here.
That's right. You all have a wonderfully Merry Christmas Monday. And blessings to all of you Christian patriots out there.